The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Brian Wilson of KGLA Radio in Algona and Aaron Somers of the Pocahontas Record Democrat. Brian, you can start us off with the question for Senator Grassley.
All right, thank you, Senator, for the time today. I guess, give me your thoughts now that the government shutdown has at least been temporarily resolved. Are you confident that issues can be resolved over the next few weeks so that we can avoid another shutdown here?
They ought to be, but I'm not confident. They ought to be because nothing gets done in this town that isn't somewhat compromised. And the way you compromise is just sit down and work out your differences. I think I'm a pretty good example of being successful at this, although I'm not at the table on this issue. But I've done it with 61 bills out of the Judiciary Committee during my chairmanship, all of them bipartisan bills, 34 of them signed by a Republican or Democrat president. So it can be done and should be done in this instance because you see most of the Democrats, but within the last 5 years, we had a bill that was going to build 700 miles of wall and $34 billion. So that ought to tell you something. If people could vote for it then, what would be immoral about it now? So you got Democrats supporting it, Republicans supporting it. How do you solve the difference between $2 billion and $6 billion? You cut it down the middle. That's done every day in a lot of appropriation bills between two extremes. And then you have both Republicans and Democrats think we want to bring justice to the DACA kids. So I don't see the difficulty of getting to an agreement that ought to pass both houses overwhelmingly. But, you know, when people are dug in, they're dug in. And both sides think they have a mandate, the president was elected on a wall. Pelosi figures it wasn't much of an issue with her candidates because they wanted to keep economic issues out there. But she was elected with a majority of the House, so she figures her position is justified. But how do you compromise? Everybody has a few wins. Everybody has a few losses. That's how you get things done around here. Let's go to Aaron.
What was different, would you say, about this particular shutdown, and what lessons do you think legislators will take away from this shutdown?
Well, the lessons they ought to take away are that shutdowns cost money. To shut down the government costs money. To open up the government, and government's a service. And you can't serve if you aren't open for business. Now, in this particular incident, it was only 25% of the government, not 100% like sometimes. But it still impacted a lot of very important services that people have to have. So I suppose the cause of it is the first part of your question. And that's basically that that both of them felt very strongly about the positions that they had, and that they had a mandate from the electorate to carry out. It happens that those mandates were in conflict of each other. But there's a lot of mandates that presidents and speakers of the House have that they work things out. And compromise is what representative government's all about. Otherwise, it'd be a dictatorship. Brian?
USDA offices across parts of Iowa were open a little bit last week and now obviously back open this week. Did you hear from any farmers back here in Iowa and the kind of pressures they were kind of under during that shutdown and when they weren't able to go into their local offices and get the help they need?
We got a lot of inquiries. I wouldn't want it to say that farmers felt pressured, but the big area was where people with their soybean crop were going to submit their figures of bushels that they harvested to qualify for the tariff-related subsidies that the federal government was giving out. We heard a little bit about some farm loan programs that were held in abeyance without the approval. maybe some housing projects in rural America, but mostly about the tariff-related issues. Aaron?
Earlier this month, you were asked about President Trump's comments or the comments that he would declare a national emergency, and you said that that would be set a bad precedent. Do you still feel that way, and are you able to communicate that to him? Are other key Republicans communicating that to him?
It's being communicated by several of us, and the answer is that that I'm still concerned about it. I think it sets a bad precedent. I think other future presidents could build on it. I don't have any control over it except to say, and Congress isn't going to correct this, but with 133 different instances where you can declare an emergency, some of them legitimate, maybe some not. Congress has delegated so much authority to the president. He has that authority now. Congress could take it back. Are they apt to take it back? I don't think so. So the president can it will probably do that in the end if there's not a compromise agreed by Congress. I wish he wouldn't. On the other hand, I do want him to have the barriers to keep people from illegally crossing our borders, violating our laws. But if he does, at least government's not going to be shut down. And if he does, and Congress doesn't intervene, and I don't expect Congress would intervene, even if they should, that it's going to be up to the courts to ratify whether or not he has the authority to do it. And of course, we're by you asking that question and by answering, it sounds like I'm putting 100% of the responsibility for an agreement on Trump. And I don't mean to put more than 50% of it on Trump. 50% of it belongs to Pelosi, and Pelosi has a responsibility to negotiate. And it shouldn't come to an emergency declaration in Congress if Congress does its job by what I've said three times now, by compromising. Brian?
Senator, talk about what you're working on the next few weeks here, and what's coming up over the next time frame for you.
Yeah, I can only, except for the negotiations that's going on between about 20 members of Congress on the conference committee between the House and Senate on this issue, the only thing I can comment on is what I'm doing in my committee. The Finance Committee that I chair now. We're going to have hearings on the high cost of prescription drugs starting tomorrow at, I think, 9:30, 10 o'clock. And then on the floor of the Senate, we're going to deal with the Middle East crisis, what to do about Syria, what to do about protecting Israel. Back to Aaron.
Could you expand a little bit more about the prescription drug legislation that you had that just came out in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's by Wyden and me. That's a bipartisan bill by the leaders of the committee. It's to make sure that what happened on EpiPens with the irresponsible fast increase in prices and profit to Mylan Company doesn't happen again. But we tend to blame just the Mylan company that took advantage of the fact that HHS wasn't doing its job of policing rebates the way they should. And so that's the bill that's called the Right Rebate Bill to give HHS authority to regorge money that's illicitly taken by pharmaceutical companies. And the EpiPen is the instigation of it, but not the only reason for doing it. Then to do away with the pay-for-delay scheme and the CREATES Act that is a subterfuge to keep patent price high after the patent runs out and to make sure that we get the generics on the market much more quickly. because generics are cheaper most of the time, and then import of drugs, because importation of drugs will drive down the price.
Thank you, Brian and Aaron, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.